from the Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Ponchatoula, Tallulah, Louisiana, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling with your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, professional reptile rodeo clown, founder of the Great Illinois River Raft Race, and one of the best-loved insurance agents in America, Gregory J. Ringhausen. Also featuring author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastus and leastus, marksman, sculptor, devoted husband and father, a man's man who can cook and eat Brussels sprouts, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
That's like European style.
European?
Where they all clap in sync.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
I don't know anything about that.
If you go to Europe and they clap in sync.
Like at a soccer match or something
whatever.
Like that?
It's not just like crazy hooligan clapping. It's like...
Speaking of soccer...
And they all clap together. No, they,
no nothing no. like that. Speaking of soccer, you've been watching the women's FIFA?
American.
No.
Don't watch that.
No, yeah, Americans are in it.
I know, but we don't watch it as a country.
Well, yeah, it's very exciting.
Is it muddy?
No, it's in Australia.
What are they wearing?
A lot.
Well, there's no point to this then.
Yeah. No, it's been very exciting.
That's just wrong, Rick.
What's that?
To behave like you're behaving to Greg's comments.
Oh,
here.
Well,
it's insulting to him, isn't it?
It doesn't bother.
Okay, what episode are we on today?
Oh, wait a minute. What do you know about soccer?
Not much, but I like watching, you know,
girls.
Soccer. Well, that too.
You like watching hours and hours of action with nobody scoring a single point. I love that.
Take a good nap.
It's like watching hockey.
No, it's not. Hockey's.
I
much
know
better.
Hockey's.
No, it's much more
brutal.
Exciting. Used to be.
Hockey's for
hours and hours and no scoring.
Tough. This is episode 11.
Okay.
And this is a rarely used hold called the Kingpin.
Ooh, sounds
the
exciting.
The Kingpin. It's like where you're sitting on the your opponent's back. Your opponent's laying face down on the floor. And you got one leg across the back of his neck, one leg across his body, and you're pulling his arms together behind his back. It's like a... It's about like to snap a wishbone.
Submission hold.
No, it's a submission hold, all right.
Woo.
Even the toughest alligator couldn't stand much of that.
Wow.
I think in the drawing that goes with it, though, it's the alligator.
The alligator's winning. I noticed that in your diagrams.
Most of the time, the alligator's
alligator
beating the heck out
pretty
of
tough.
The
alligator. Yeah. That's why this is such a big deal that you've successfully won.
Tough skinned critters.
Yeah.
Did I ever show you my alligator boots?
No.
I won those in the Olympics, too.
Made out of the losers.
Yep.
That was almost like a gladiator.
Woo.
You ever eat alligator meat?
No, I haven't.
You can. I mean,
they used to serve that over at various places.
Tastes like chicken, but not.
But it's not.
Or you could go into a, you know, like an exotic food store and buy some canned alligator meat.
Oh, I'm sure. Because alligators aren't endangered.
No.
I mean, it's not an endangered species. They can't rid of them fast enough. They're apparently like a plague in Florida and Louisiana.
No, that's boa constrictors.
Well, they're bad too.
Yeah, big time.
Okay.
You know, a big snake roundup down the Florida everywhere.
Going on right now, I think.
Oh, can't get enough of them. What do they do with them?
They kill them.
They kill them, skin them, sell the pelts.
What's PETA think about that?
You're wallpapered with them.
The Biltmore covered with...
No, listen to me, Rick. They're an invasive species, and they're dominating the natives and choking out their habitat. They are bad.
Very bad.
Like those Chinese carp we got here.
Yes.
Yeah, in Mississippi River. They've got the invasive big-headed carp and silver carp, and well, there's one other one, I can't remember what it is. And they ain't supposed to be there.
And they just took over.
That's right, they have. And that's a bad thing.
Okay. Bad topic-wise, Greg.
Oh, boy.
You are highest on the actuarial table, closest to death. Have you worked on your last words yet?
No.
You gonna just die and not have I would have good last
my thing,
words?
My thing would say I would have some words here, but I procrastinated too long.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Waited too long.
Yeah.
What about you, Alan? You got your last words picked out?
No, but it could be this show. Oh, it'll be recorded anyway.
Alan's last words were, please have the sheriff don't believe Sarah's story.
All right, Amazon has canned alligator meat. It says, shop for the lowest prices and top brands of alligator meat.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Why don't we send off for some of this?
That's a good idea. Why don't you do that?
And we'll have a barbecue.
Alligator fillets, farm-raised, great for fillets? Grilling and frying.
Wow, fillets.
And it says here, I'm not sure what, you can buy a bag of alligator fillets for $39.99.
Oh, okay. How many pounds is that?
Well, I was looking. I'm not seeing. Oh, it's a one-pound pack.
For $40?
Yeah.
Woo.
That's pretty steep, actually. You can get some alligator jerky.
Turkey jerky.
You can get some corned beef that's made out of alligator meat. This would be corned gator, wouldn't
it? Corn gator, yeah. Wouldn't be corned beef.
Mm-mm.
So, Rick, what is your epitaph that you've thought up of chiseled into your headstone?
Oh, here lies the world's oldest man.
Nice try.
Ambitious.
Yeah, very ambitious.
You don't think that's happening? You ain't wagering on it?
I'll wager on it, but it's not going to be in your favor.
You know, I looked up...
Our dentist, his is going to be Dr. David Yetton, the last cavity he ever filled.
That's pretty good.
I was looking at famous last words of people.
Yeah,
you know, sure. got like a list of them. And I noticed that...
Got any favorites?
A lot of them are like people who are about to be executed.
No, I saw that. The one guy that, any last request? A bulletproof vest, please.
Yeah, that's my last request. George Bernard Harris, armed robber and murderer, prior to his death by lethal injection. Somebody needs to kill my trial attorney.
That's not bad.
It's like a little gallows humor. You know, a lot of the comic guys had a good sense of humor up until the very end, too. If you look at...
I was looking at W.C. Fields. I can't repeat it on air.
Go ahead.
No, you can't. Yeah, it's pretty...
I'll bleep you.
No. I'm not even going down that road. But anyway, Merv Griffith, I will not be right back after this message. I thought that was pretty good.
That was good. But the classic that you mentioned before we started the show.
Oh, yeah. That was Mel Blanc. That's all, folks.
And then died.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. You got enough sense to be able to say something like that.
I'll tell you another guy who had a good one. Leslie Nielsen,
yeah.
You know, the comedic actor, said, let her rip.
One guy on there said, I told you I was sick.
I love that.
Chico Marx said, his last words were, remember, honey, don't forget what I told you. Put in my coffin a deck of cards, a golf club, and a pretty blonde. And then he died.
Yeah, but he didn't call it a golf club. He called it
a mashie or something.
Yeah, something.
I know. I translated it freely.
Okay. Frank Sinatra's was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was. What'd Frankie say?
He said, the best is yet to come.
Yep.
Oh, he did not
the
say
best
that.
Is yet to
that,
come.
That wasn't what he, that's his on his tombstone.
Yes.
Joe DiMaggio said, I'm finally going to see Marilyn.
Ooh.
No, he did not.
According to the internet.
Rodney Dangerfield, there goes the neighborhood. That was kind
of
that.
One of the most visited graves of a celebrity is in France.
Yep. I know who you're talking about.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
And on his, it says, true to his own spirit.
It's in Greek.
It's like covered with graffiti, isn't it?
Yeah, it's covered with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Stan Law.
It says here that Joe DiMaggio's tombstone says, "Grace, dignity, and elegance personified."
Well, that's the epitaph. That's not his last words. Okay. Which I was talking about his last words.
Okay.
Right. Stan Laurel, Laurel and Hardy, his last words. He said, "I'd rather be skiing than doing this, dying." And the nurse says, "Oh, you ski?" He says, "No, but I'd rather be doing that than doing this."
Martin Luther King's.
Oh, that was a good one.
"Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last."
You know, a lot of their last words were
profound.
Were actually, if you read pages and pages of them, there are a lot of them that were like religious and ready to go.
Some of them, yeah.
Like to quote Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
"Into your hands I commend my spirit."
Mm-hmm.
Conrad Hilton's last words were, "Leave the shower curtain on the inside of the tub."
Good one.
That's sound advice.
It is. Nothing better. Don't want to leave that out.
Have you ever showered with and left the...
Once. Just once.
That makes a mess, doesn't it?
Oh.
Were you drunk and passed out in the tub? Or...
Pretty much.
Okay.
Is that all right?
It's all right. It's better to talk about it. My brother
fell out of the shower and broke his wrist.
Drunk?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Who do you think's last words were, "I'm going to the bathroom to read"?
Oh, that was Elvis.
Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Okay, I liked Thomas Jefferson's tombstone. "Here lies Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence and the statutes establishing religious toleration in the Commonwealth of Virginia."
That's a pretty good thing to be able to put on your tombstone.
Man, that's a pretty good resume for the Lord, huh?
I might put that on my tombstone.
No.
I'm going to have "Inventor of the Non-Returning Boomerang."
No. Where's the one? Read the one about the daredevil.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was a daredevil by the name of Sam Patch. And he is quoted as saying, "Napoleon was a great man and a great general. He conquered armies and he conquered nations, but he couldn't jump the Genesee Falls. Wellington was a great man and a great soldier. He conquered armies. He conquered Napoleon, but he couldn't jump the Genesee Falls. That was left for me to do, and I can do it and will." And this is on his tombstone, which is dated November 13, 1829, just prior to his fatal leap from Genesee Falls.
You know, at least there's...
That's a big talker.
At least there's confidence there.
Yeah. Well, he went through with it. You got to give him that.
He tried it.
Yeah.
Well, I think once you've stood on the edge of the falls, you know, and make a big blustery speech like that, you don't have much choice but to jump.
You got to go. All right, getting back to your point, Rick, of people being executed.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one. Well, folks, you'll soon see a baked apple spoken by George Apple, American murderer, 9 August 1928, prior to execution by electrocution.
Baked apple.
You ever hear of a politician by the name of Bill Kugel?
No.
He was from Texas House of Representatives. Yeah. On his tombstone, it says, "He never voted for Republicans and had little to do with them."
There you go.
Man, he took it right to the grave,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's bad.
Dr. Seuss, his last words were, "Yes, I'm not going to die tomorrow."
Oh, yeah.
Winston Churchill, "I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter." That he's on the same level as his maker, yeah, he's a pretty arrogant guy.
He was.
Winston Churchill?
Yes.
Well, he had a pretty good resume, too.
He did.
I mean, shoot, he was like the Lord of the Admiralty in World War I. Of course, he's the one that lined up the Gallipoli campaign that was so terrible.
Okay, here's one. These are some of these kind of funny ones. There's a guy by the name of Jonathan Blake, who's buried in the Uniontown Cemetery in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. It says, here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake.
Oh. Here's one. William Fetterman, United States Army officer, prior to his death in 1866. His last words were, give me 80 men and I'll ride through the whole Sioux Nation. Never seen again.
Should have asked for a few more, huh?
Yeah, I think that, not quite yet.
William Hahn Jr. is buried in the Princeton Cemetery in New Jersey, said on his tombstone, I told you I was sick.
That's when I said, yeah. Famous last words.
Abdur Rahman Khan, the Emir of Afghanistan in 1901. Yeah, his last words were, my last words to you, my son and successor, are never trust the Russians. Hey, now that one about go out and win one for the Gipper, is that true? George Gipp?
I don't know.
Is that a true story? You know what I'm talking about.
You're talking about Newt Rockne's speech?
Newt Rockne, All-American, yeah. Go ahead, I want you to go out and win one for the Gipper.
Well, I'm sure we could look it up.
Yeah, I think you need to look that up. George Gipp was his name.
Yeah, it was a movie.
No, I know it was a movie.
I know, but I mean, was it true? You're right. I don't know.
Carl Panzram, American serial killer, said, spitting in his executioner's face prior to hanging, hurry it up, you Hoosier bastard. I could hang a dozen men while you're fooling around here.
Oh. Studs Terkel. Curiosity did not kill this cat.
Nice.
Yeah, it was.
Robert Clay Allison, who was a gunfighter in the Old West, his tombstone says, he never killed a man that did not need killing.
There's a lot to be said for that one, too, isn't there? Have you ever gone around through like an old graveyard and looked for epitaphs?
Yes, I have. Usually, you know, they're older tombstones.
Right.
I think epitaphs have kind of gone out of style.
Mostly now it's just mother and father or mother of such and such kids and grandkids on the tombstone now. But you're right. It's back in the 1800s that you see those, I think, more then than now.
Let's say you had a farm and you were going to sell it, right? And it had like a wooded area in it. I think it happened if you like just got some old tombstones made them look like old tombstones, set them out in the woods like that, but dug open graves next to each one of them.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I don't know what he's getting at there, but
I don't know. Okay, just seems like something interesting that someone who's buying the place would walk around and say, what happened here? Someone dig them up or they come up themselves?
You want to know what says on William Shakespeare's?
Yeah, I saw that, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's hard to read. Yeah.
It says, I didn't write any of this stuff.
It says, good friend, for Jesus' sake forbear to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones.
Whoa. Huh. So doesn't want any grave robber coming.
Well, I need to look up Edgar Allan Poe. He always had the best.
Good one.
He was like preparing for death from the time he's like 20.
Probably earlier than that.
Hey, while Alan's doing that, we better do a commercial.
Is it time for a commercial?
It is.
Better get it on in.
Greg,
what we got?
Where's your commercial?
I don't have it.
Right there.
Oh, the copy's here.
And read your copy slowly.
Today's...
Not that slow.
Today's program is brought to you by Uncle Denno's. What's he got? Pickle Farm. When did he start that?
Not too long ago.
All right, it's pickle season, and over at Uncle Denno's Orchards, the pickle trees are bursting with this year's crop of sweet, delicious pickles. I can't wait to go pick a peck of pickles. Gherkins, I'm not going into cornichons. Sweet dill pickles, we got them all. And want to pick a peck of your own very own pickles? Uncle Dan has a your own pickle orchard, and you gave this to me on purpose, didn't you? With dwarf pickle trees for easy pickle picking. We supply the pickle baskets and special pickle ladders so your young one can have a memorable day at the picking pickles. And looking for those special kosher dill pickles? Uncle Denno has that too. Each season, a specially trained orthodox mole comes out and sniffs the ends of an entire row of young pickles. I got to read this before I read it. And it's done entirely in compliance with both Mosaic Law and OSHA safety regulations. So you can be assured that no pickles were harmed in this process. So when you've got a tickle for a pickle, come on down to Uncle Dan's Pickle Orchard and get to crunching. Amen, Brother Ben. Wow. Just kind of late for that one, didn't you?
You did really good with that, Greg. I'm impressed with you.
Thank you.
You must be a pickle farmer yourself.
I am, you know. One of the best. Went to Uncle Dental's for a long time. He's been working on that for a while, hasn't he?
A pickle farm.
Yeah, you had that laid down. I didn't even see that. Wow. That's easy.
You remember we went to Michigan to that pickle farm?
I picked some pickles.
It was just bursting. Trees bursting with pickles.
Loaded.
I think you guys were, too.
No.
I heard about those trips to Michigan.
Pickle farming.
Yeah. It's a talented effort there.
No, well, for real, when we went to Michigan in our youth and we were buying a produce grater.
Yeah.
And it was at a facility that processed fruits and vegetables, but they had a pickle facility there, and they were sorting cucumbers.
To process pickles?
Yeah.
They brine them?
What?
They put the brine in there, too?
Yeah, there's a brine soaking facility there, too, yeah.
Yeah, for people who aren't familiar about it, you can take your pickles, soak them in brine, and turn them into cucumbers.
It's the other way around.
I think it is.
No, that's the way it is. Fresh off the pickle tree into a tub of brine, they come out cucumbers. You slice them up and put them on your salad.
You're really a confused man.
Tonight he is.
You know, there was a guy by the name of Jean-Philippe Rameau, who was a composer. And when he was dying, a priest came and started singing like a hymn over him.
Yeah.
And his complaint was, priest, you're singing out of tune.
On his deathbed.
Yeah, on his deathbed. You know who a guy by the name of William Henry Seward was?
Yeah, he was Abe Lincoln's right-hand man. He bought Alaska.
He bought Alaska. The Alaska Seward's Folly, I think, is what they referred to it as.
That's what it turned out to be.
Seward got...
lambasted.
He got cut up the same night Lincoln got killed. There was actually a conspiracy to overthrow the whole government.
Yes,
and
he did.
While John Wilkes Booth was shooting Lincoln, some other guy came in. Stewart was laid up from a carriage accident. He stormed up the stairs, like stabbed three or four guys as he went. He worked his way up, forced his way into Seward's room, and slashed him in the face with a knife. And he survived.
Yes, he did.
Right, he survived long enough to utter the final words. Nothing, only love one another.
Really?
Those were his final words.
That was much later.
Love one another.
Yeah, they're supposed to get the vice president, the secretary of state, secretary of war.
Yeah, the guy who was going to go get Andrew Johnson.
Backed out.
He got drunk.
Yeah.
Lost his nerve.
Yep.
Marie Antoinette, her final words were not, let them eat cake, which everybody thinks that she... It was pardon moi.
Working on your French, are you?
Leave me alone.
That's pretty good.
Okay, Richard Mellon. You ever hear of Richard Mellon, the Mellon Millionaires? He and his brother founded Alcoa, company.
Yeah. All right, I believe
They were like billionaires, and he was laying on his deathbed, and his brother, Andrew Mellon,
wrapped him in.
He like waved for him to come close. And then when his brother leaned in to listen to his last words, he poked him with his hand and said, tag, you're it. Last words.
Not bad. You know, you talked about
tag, you're it.
Marie Antoinette. But there's one. Peter Curtin, a German serial killer known as the Vampire of Dusseldorf.
Vampire
of Dusseldorf.
You know, that's the title if you're going to the grave.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. Put fear in you.
Right before they dropped the blade villagers. On him, he said, after my head is chopped off, will I still be able to hear, at least for a moment, the sound of my old blood gushing from the stump of my neck? Ooh. That would be the pleasure to end all pleasures.
Well, this guy was on the other side of the planet. Wow.
He had some issues, man.
Wow. You know, there's a whole study as to whether or not the human head... has consciousness after beheading.
Eating like a chicken?
Yeah, well, the head itself. That you're aware that you've been
decapitated.
The head's
laying on the ground for a chicken. The other part of the chicken's flying around.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You mean like there's a second of consciousness?
Yeah.
Or maybe a minute of consciousness?
He's kind of looking around going, well, this can't end well.
No.
I'm dead.
No,
I'm dead.
There's no solution to this problem.
Not a good day.
Okay, here's a guy that actually put some thought into his final words. Sir Isaac Newton.
Oh, yeah.
I think he put some thought into everything he did, didn't he?
He said, I don't know what it was pretty long last words. I mean, it's like he wouldn't shut up. It says, I don't know what I may seem to the world, but as to myself, I seem to have been only like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself now and then in finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than the ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me.
Man, he must have been dying of something slow.
That's some deep crap there, isn't it? Wow.
If he's getting beheaded, he wouldn't have had time to blurt all that out.
Wouldn't have had that kind of time. But now, here's another guy that has some famous last words. Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, what do you have to say?
He said, I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have.
Wow. My goodness.
Wow.
Talk about the ultimate perfectionist.
Sistine Chapel, Mona Lisa, there's a myriad of works, and they just weren't good enough, were they?
According to Machiavelli. Niccolò Machiavelli?
Yeah.
He's like kind of a philosopher, right? Machiavellian.
Yeah, it's a guy that you can talk people into anything.
He says, I desire to go to hell and not to heaven. At least in hell, I shall enjoy the company of popes, kings, and princes. If I go to heaven, it's only beggars, monks, hermits, and apostles.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good thought.
Buddy Rich, the drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Rich, the drummer. And he was...
pretty outspoken.
He died from surgery. He'd gone in for some kind of cancer surgery. I think he's a heavy smoker. And died during the surgery. But right before they put him under, the doctors and nurses, one of them asked, is there anything you can't take? And his reply was, yeah, country music.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Isn't that was pretty good. A guy by the name of John Arthur Spinkelink.
Interesting.
Executed.
Oh, you made
that up. He was executed in Florida.
Good one.
And he spent his final days writing out his last words, trying to get something together. And his final statement was, capital punishment means those without capital get the punishment.
Well, for days, and he came up with that?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Worked all day long for his manifesto.
You must have had some distractions there.
Okay, one more. Thomas J. Grasso, convicted murderer. Thomas J. Grasso used his last words to complain about his last meal. It said, I did not get SpaghettiOs, I got spaghetti.
Oh, man. Can't even get it right from the last meal. That's just worthless.
I like the notion. SpaghettiOs.
How hard is it to open a can and heat it up?
So what do you want for your last meal?
SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs. You know, SpaghettiOs are pretty good.
I want a big can of it, too.
You don't even have to heat them.
I want a cafeteria-sized can.
You know, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day.
Exactly.
But 4th of July.
Yes.
One, I can't remember what year it was.
But, some years apart.
You know, I think I have that.
Yeah, Adams.
Thomas Jefferson's last words were?
Yeah, you said him, didn't you?
Yes.
Is it the 4th?
Oh, yeah. The 4th of July.
And then his buddy, John Adams.
Actually political opponents who hated each other.
Exactly.
Who died the exact same day. But Thomas Jefferson died earlier. But John Adams said, at least Thomas Jefferson survives.
Your very last words are wrong.
Yeah. Come on. I can't get a break.
Damn Jefferson.
Screwed up my last words. John Wayne, Did we do John Wayne?
No, I don't
we
think did not so. Do John Wayne.
John Wayne died.
John Wayne actually was a little poignant.
He was fairly opinionated in real life, but his last words weren't bad. And he died at the age of 72 in Los Angeles. He turned to his wife, who was at his bedside, and said, "Of course I know who you are. You're my girl. I love you."
Ooh, pretty aww. Nice.
So he went out good.
Yeah, he did.
You might want to keep that one written down.
You know who Donald O'Connor is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the dancer with Gene Kelly in...
Singing in the Rain.
And he made a bunch of movies with Talking Mule.
Yes, yeah. He did.
Or Honky, as we call them.
Yeah. And he, at one point in time, hosted the Academy Awards. Huh? If you know,
I didn't know that. I know that.
No. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, his last words as he was dying was, "I'd like to thank the Academy for my Lifetime Achievement Award that I will eventually get." Still waiting.
Yeah.
Still waiting on that one.
What's your time?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time, so these are my last words.
There you go. Well done.
We're out of time.
Well
done.
You
know, interestingly, if, you know, one of us were, like, struck by a lightning or a car or something, you go back on the tape and look up, literally look up what your last
words
were.
Or in your case, a bullet. Yeah, who knows?
Or tripping over the dog gate.
Yeah, that was close. All right, so until next time, this wraps up episode number 11.
Very good. See you later.
Alligator.
From?
Greg. Alligator.
Greg Gator.
You're messing it up.
Try it again.
See you later from?
Rick Gator.
Greg Gator.
And Alligator.
All right.